My name's Tracy. We're at the Archway on Bede Street, and we have an art and crafts market, and we also, and a bit of food as well. And then next door, we have a garden with free plants and kids' crafts.
Describe where Bede Street is.
It's in Broadenston Gate. It's part of the Great Central Way where the Pump and Tap used to be. It's one of the archways. The archway itself is a closed archway, and next door in the garden, it's an open space.
So what's the idea behind today and bringing people together for an arts fair here?
It's about making this area a bit more alive and bringing art, like artists and creative people together, whether it be music or paintings or like anything that is creative, really, and to bring a community together.
And what kind of people have you got exhibiting stuff to buy?
Oh, we've got professionals, and then we also have professional artists, and then we have craft people. Colejo is amazing. She does she gets plastic and like unrecyclable plastic and irons it together and then makes purses and bookmarks and earrings and anything you can possibly think of. There's clothing as well, Persecute Tees, they do amazing stuff. And hand-painted cards. There's Matt Glover with some delicious treats.
Describe to us the space that we're in. And then I'm going to ask you to tell us about the background and how you brought that space about.
Can I start with the background?
Yeah.
Okay. So once upon a time, the horses used to come through here and deliver the goods to the boats on the canal. And it was open so that they could get the goods, obviously, to the shipyard. And then, Anyway, and then it was closed down for a long time, and then it became a mechanics. It's got an arched roof. It's very damp, but beautiful. It's got like a rustic feel to it. And I've made like a kitchen area in the back, and then we've got a big area at the front where we have exhibitions, classes, what else? And right now a market, yeah.
How did you get involved with this space, and what was it like when you first arrived to look at it or interact with it?
Well, initially I was a volunteer next door. I was doing eco-bricking structure, and this space next door was empty, dusty, cobwebby, damp, vile. But you can see the potential. It's got charm. It's got a beautiful charm to it. You can see through the windows. You can see the canal, which is gorgeous. And it was full of people who have shops around here. They just put their junk and left it in here. And I decided to clean it up and turn it into something. So the first thing I ever did was just have a bunch of people who live nearby come, and we had a party together. And then the next thing was the first like official kind of thing we had was a willow weaving event, and it's just kind of gone on from there. But this year I decided to really put my all into it and get some funding from Leicester City Council and make it into what it is now. So we've got some lighting because I've got an inverter, I've got a sink. So just bit by bit, we're getting there.
And it's never going to be state-of-the-art? Is that the right way to describe it?
No, it's always going to be rustic. Yeah, nothing posh here. But that's how we like it, yeah.
And how do people react to that?
Everybody is like, oh, ooh, I didn't realise this was here. And yeah, They like the space because it's different. There's nothing quite like it in Leicester. There's things that are similar, but this has got its own flavour. It's like my giant canvas.
for you to do what you will. And what do you think you will be doing with it in the future, or encouraging other people to do with it in the future?
I would like people to have their own events here. They can choose whatever they want. There'll be a fee, but not very expensive, so very affordable. I've been doing some craft classes in here, and I will continue to do more craft classes, probably on Sundays, 12 till 4, or 2 till 4. And yeah, anything can happen here. Music, whatever, maybe supper club or poetry reading. Yeah, anything goes.
If you had to describe one thing that you think has stood out as being, you know, when you get those moments where it's almost like the hair stand on the back of your neck.
Excuse me, I'll be with you in a minute.
Busy lady.
Okay. Got to make a sale there.
Absolutely. So talking of moments that make the hair stand on the back of the neck, cha-ching, yeah. The cash.
Yes.
A working artist, yeah. So
do you know what hair standing on the back, I had a moment this morning because I've been working so hard to make this event happen and for it to look beautiful. And just seeing everyone in there and the lights be on and everyone chatting and enjoying themselves, it just means everything to me.
Where can people find out more work? Sorry, let me rephrase that. Where can people find out more about your work and the space?
You can follow me at Tracy_Howard on Instagram. Or if you want to know more about the Archways, it's Braunston Gate Archways on Facebook.
My name is Tal. I'm here helping Tracy, who has organized this event. I mostly throw my labor in to helping this place get up and running. So for instance, the little box in the corner, I constructed that, putting up the guttering in the back, stuff like that. It's a really lovely space, and I think we should all invest in it.
So you clearly have invested in it. What's your hope for the kind of space and how it's used, and what do you like seeing it being used as?
I personally see it as a testbed for off-grid type living, as well as being an event space. Because we don't have electricity here and we don't have running water, we've had to sort of construct alternatives for that. So, you know, Tracy has made a composting toilet in the corner, which works very nicely. We've got a water butt which collects rainwater from the roof, which leads into a sink which goes outside into the canal for drainage. We've got solar panel and inverter. I've not screwed it onto the roof yet, but that's coming. So the hope is that this place becomes its own neat little self-sufficient hub, without in the middle of a city, but not being connected to the city. I think that's a worthy thing to be working on. And you can see what a lovely space it is, how cozy it's gotten. I think that's the value. And of course, next door we have the community garden, which is similarly, you know, a place where you can grow edible food, and people do. And the food that comes out of there is really nice. I think it's really important to remind ourselves when we live in, you know, a conurbation like this, where it all comes from, trying to connect to where our resources come from. And be mindful of that.
Hello, my name is Matt Glover, and I'm here with Jard and Dangerous, our little deli range.
What does that involve?
Well, there are some chutneys, we've got some smashed radishes, they're particularly gorgeous, and limoncello, and also some salad dressings.
And these are all made by your
self? All handmade. I wrote a cookbook and published it about 2 years ago, so all these recipes have come from my cookbook.
And why particularly are you here in the Arch today?
Well, Tracy's a good friend, and she's been creating this, and she's super talented, and she thought we might be a good fit for this venue, so yeah.
And why are you a fit for this venue?
Oh gosh, I think because we're very creative, and all the recipes are my own, and all the branding and everything all kind of comes from myself, so I think it's really the kind of artisan element that comes to it.
Why does that matter to have that kind of unique individual kind of, as you say, artisan kind of experience. Why? Because there's Tesco's over the road. I could just go there and buy something in a mass-produced jar.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of the thinking behind Jarred and Dangerous is, like, pause on a plate. So it's taking time out of, like, the busy world that kind of, you know, where money just flows and no one really cares. Whereas, actually, if you're stopping and really, really spending time with, like, artisan producers and beautiful produce, it actually allows you to kind of feel a bit more present in the moment, I think.
So it's introducing some reflection into it. When you said pause, I was kind of, pause, is that like dog's pause or pause like, as in slow?
Just taking a little moment for yourself to really appreciate something beautiful.
Yeah. So there's an added value, there's an added benefit of taking time out and thinking.
Yeah, I think from a mental health point of view, we're all going a little bit mad, I think, really. So I think taking a little pause to actually enjoy things and remind that actually not every moment of every day feels like it's falling apart. You can create a bit of time to enjoy yourself.
And how can people find out more about you, what you do?
Well, I'm on Instagram, Matt Glover Food. You find all my Jarred and Dangerous stuff on there, and my cookbook link's there as well.
Hi, my name's Stuart Hicking, and I'm here sharing some of my wares. I'm a local artist, Leicester artist, and I do prints mainly, and that's what I do. I sell them. Having printed them myself, I now sell them.
My name's Carl. I'm the owner of Persecute.com, a clothing company based on my own designs. Very similar to Stuart, really. Same sort of artistry, and then we just put them on different garments, make different garments up, different materials, put them all together to create something quite punkish.
And just describe a little bit about where we are.
Well, we're in the archway of what was a railway, central railway line. Since the bridge at Braunston Gate, the bridge has been removed some years back now, and all we're left with is the archway, arches underneath, that are being utilised in this case by the Braunston community.
And how does it feel to have been taken over a space like this for like art and craft? And
it feels natural. It's like a natural progression. It's like the, instead of it being run down and not used and for anything, it's like all these small independent businesses that are really creative have created something else. So we've created something else for other people to come down.
So you must do other arts events and crafts events and things. Where do you get the best kind of reaction and the best response?
Sorry, where do I?
Do you do other like arts fairs, craft fairs, that kind of thing? Where do you get your best kind of response?
I keep missing where I get what from.
Your best response.
Oh, best response. That's ironic. I mainly based in Leicester, and the DMU, the venue's a good one. I've moved from craft stall events to more vintage because of my imagery is very old style and nostalgic, shall we say. I find it works in a vintage market rather than just say craft and candles sort of place.
And I want to know how you, as a fashion purveyor, deal with things like the dominance of things like JD Sports and the monoculture.
Yeah, you've got a problem with global corporations. They lack the ingenuity and creativity. So everybody looks, if you look down the high street, most people look a clone. They're a clone of each other. They don't wear anything in particular. They're all in the same set. It's like they're all scared to stand out a little bit. So hopefully we can reverse it. So you'll come and get something just a little bit special, just a little bit different. It's not always totally different, but it's just got its own unique little style that you can actually add to it. And that's, you're never going to compete with big global corporations. You can't, because they've got the funding to just keep bombarding everybody with imagery.
And what would you say, I'm going to ask about both of you this, what's your vibe? How do you describe somebody what your, you know, it's kind of a particular style and it fits in with a feeling at the moment?
It's all about everyday objects that I have memories for me, because I'm in my 70s now. I'm a retired art teacher, which is where I get my art background from. It's everyday objects that have memories for me and resonate, and I accentuate that by adding colour and design and textures. and that's what, how I create my prints. It's a really about everyday objects. Every one of these I can make a comment about. There's cameras, because I used to teach photography. I love cooking, so there's a lot of kitchenalia type imagery as well. My mum was into, it was a machinist for a factory, so my early memories as a kid was watching her sewing in the front room to make money, and I'd be playing around with buttons and tape measures and sewing machines and things like that, you know, that sort of thing. So that, it's all about me, really. It's self-indulgent. I'm the true artist, just talking about myself most of the time. But it has a resonance with other people, because we all have memories.
What's your resonance?
See, that's a really interesting point, because it is all about self-indulgence. It's our own little world that we disappear into to create something, and then we come out and we produce it, and it's scary to actually put something out there that you've made yourself, because you're putting yourself out for criticism. So it's really unique, but it's also that ego side of it is, this is for me, primarily it's for me first that I did it, and then you lot come later.
Because we're on...
It's nice to sell things, because obviously we're a stall, and I don't desperately need the money, luckily, I'm retired now, but as a way of indicating how successful I feel I am, the money is important. But I find it, talking to people, more useful.
Yeah, definitely. It's the social side of it, the whole group, we create different things. It's just beautiful. The whole community is beautiful.
So where can people find out more about your work?
We can all online. You'll see us all on...
Tell us your Instagram.
Persecute. But you got to spell it right. It's Percy and then cute. It's a play on words.
And I'm Stuart.Hicking, H-I-C-K-I-N-G. Stuart, S-T-U-A-R-T. And it's my website's the same.
Yeah, my name's Maya, Maya Stigner. I'm an artist, and I have a studio in Leicester City Centre at Churchgate Artist Studios. And I'm selling my artwork prints, which are made from my original paintings of bees, bumblebees and moths. Yeah.
And how did you get involved with doing independent arts work?
So I'm trained as a graphic designer, did graphic design at uni, but I've always painted, and I run my own graphic design business, and that allows me a bit of time to enjoy the more creative side of painting and enjoy my studio a bit more. So I do a bit of the commercial art, and then I do my painting and experimenting in the studio.
And what's it like interacting with people as they're looking at your work and maybe buying something?
Oh, it's really good. I get loads of really interested customers, because I do a lot of research behind the insects I've painted, and I use citizen science for the imagery. So it's really nice to talk about the research I've found about the different species I've painted. And people get really interested, and I think they like to buy the work because I've told a story through the bees. So the theme behind it is I'm mixed race, I'm half Indian, half English, so everything I create is inspired by both cultures. And I've done the same with the insects, so I've done species from the Indian continent and from the European continent, and I think people find that quite surprising, because in England we have our common garden bumblebees, but then we don't realise there's thousands of other species around the world, and that just opens people's eyes. And they're also pollinators of some of the foods and spices we use, and people are really interested to see the hidden workers behind that. And I think it just encourages more global conservation rather than just, you know, us conserving our home species. We're all connected, and that's what I'm trying to push.
And do you like coming to these events?
Yeah, I love coming to markets, because you get to meet all the different kinds of people. You see what the work, you know, I'm a commercial artist as well, so I like to see what's working, what people like, what they don't like. It's just a nice community as well. You get to meet everyone, all the other creators around Leicester. It's nice to have a little bit of community spirit.
And what do you two questions? What do you think of this space?
Love this space. And I was just talking to my neighbouring artist, Rini, and we were just saying how it's so aesthetically pleasing to look at. that vibe of the fairy lights and yeah, the just the rustic sort of shabby chic feel is it fits what we do, and I think it's looking great. It's looking like a proper market, and it's our first go at it, so yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, I want to wander around and take loads of photos in a bit, but where can people find out about your work?
So you can find me on Instagram mostly. That's where I post all my art and my daily life, and that's at This Illusory Life. Or you just search my name, Maya Stickner. Yeah, that's probably the main place you'd find me. Yeah.
Hi, my name's Kat, and I'm selling polymer clay earrings today. Yeah, I just love the environment where you get to talk to different creative people and show what you've made.
And how did you tell us a bit about your work? How have you got into it? So how did you know that earrings are going to be a thing that's going to, you know, help you pay the bills?
Yeah. Well, not quite there yet. Hopefully it will. But last year I was at a friend's hen do, and as part of one of the craft things we did, we made some polymer clay earrings. So I was like, oh, this is all right. Maybe I could make something else. Bought some clay. Next thing you know, Christmas, I did a market, made some money. I was like, oh, maybe this is something that could happen. So always been creative, always been, went to DMU. Much like any other art student, you end up in bar work, doing a bit of calligraphy, doing a bit of this and that. And then eventually you settle on something that actually is a bit more expressive and representative of you, that you actually want to share with the world.
I like that idea of providing an alternative for Hindus as come and do a craft event, not traipse around a town with a fake penis, you know, with an inflatable penis or something like that.
Yeah, it's a little bit more interesting than just chasing after alcohol or like the last night of freedom, as it were. It's a way to commemorate a moment, isn't it? As with earrings, it's a nice way to commemorate that moment in time, or any kind of jewellery.
I find that there's... I was lucky enough to go to Japan last year, and as you walk around, pretty much loads of things that you see, and you go, oh, that's cute, that's cute. Whereas in the UK, it's like kind of... there's a cynicism. So you can go into card shops on the high street, and it's all... you old bastard, or whatever it is. How do we ensure that kind of joy and that pleasure and that positive... You know, you look at things and you go, actually, that's really, you know, that cuteness, and without it being trite, but that comes out. How do you think we improve that?
I think it's about sincerity, and I think it's more reflective of what's going on internally of someone. So what's your source, you know? What's feeding you is what comes out. For me as a Christian, like, what the Bible talks about, my relationship with God, has a massive reflection, has a massive impact on how I want to treat someone in front of me. So caring about the person in front of me changes my intentionality. So as much as I want to make some money, I care far more about having a conversation, interaction with the person in front of me. And just as you were talking about earlier, you know, actually going around and talking to people, having that interaction is far more fulfilling than just buying something. I think that's the beautiful thing about craft fairs, about craft markets. What Tracy's doing here is just being able to interact with people. And that's the beautiful thing about creativity, is it creates conversation. It challenges people's perspectives and helps them pursue something other than whatever mindset they're in. And getting out of social media, as much as it's a great tool, it can trap us so easily. And trap us into that kind of self-centered mentality of what we're feeling, what we're experiencing, rather than touching base, touching grass, connecting with other people.
So where can people find out more about your work?
If you want to find me on Instagram, cat_scratch101, that's me.
Yeah, do help yourselves if you'd like to take any away.
Some kind of flowers tend to try to get the flower very quickly, so you don't...
Right, hi, I'm John Thompson. I'm one of the lead gardeners at the Archway Garden in Bronson Gate.
Just describe it for us a little bit.
Right, it's an old Archway industrial unit that we took over about 8 years ago, which had been empty, and we had to get it cleared of, including trees taken out that grown up through the concrete before we moved in. Just as an idea, we're as part of a a project to improve Braunston Gate as an area. We had a lot of funding at the time, but the council gave us the plot on a peppercorn rent, but they haven't taken any money off us, which helps.
And just what kind of planting have you got here?
Right, we've got a mixture. So we've got a rotation of vegetable plants across the season. So we have got a container with different beans, brassicas, potatoes, onions, garlics, carrots, a whole range of vegetables we grow across the year. Starting off in November with planting broad beans, or sowing broad bean seeds, garlic and onions. So that's our first thing. And then they come through first, and then spring we'll plant out the summer cropping.
Now this summer's been a bit drier than most. What's been the challenges?
Water. Effectively, our water bits are all empty, and it is so it's that kind of thing. Usually, we only need to water the greenhouse, and what once things are out here, there's enough rain to not need a massive amount of watering. So that's why some of the plants you can see now are not looking like they would have done this time last year, when we had a bit more rain outside. So that's been a big challenge. When we're volunteer led, there's nobody here every day to monitor.
And what do those volunteers get out of volunteering?
A sense of achievement of actually producing a sustainable place for people to sit and growing food that can be passed on to people, or showing people how to grow food, grow their own food, which I think is quite important these days, that people can learn where food comes from, but how to actually make it or grow it themselves. But also, we look at this as a big backyard, and how you grow food in a backyard. So around in this area of Braunston Gate, nobody's got a garden, everybody's got a yard. So if people can see from here, I could grow something, not as much as we grow, but I could grow one bed in my backyard. I'd grow something, and I think that's quite good. It's because most people without a garden don't think they can grow food. I mean, some of the people here today are taking plants away to grow on their windowsills. So it's sort of space is not a barrier.
So it's just those small things that you can start off doing. Where do people find out more information about this?
Right, so there's a Facebook page that people can actually... I'm not sure exactly where. So the Facebook page that would show it, but effectively we are regularly open every Wednesday morning from about 11 till 2, and Saturdays from about 11 till 2. So the garden is open over those periods, unless I'm on holiday. So that does. But it's, we could always need anybody just what wants to either experienced gardener or wants to learn about gardening, then we're happy to teach people how to actually grow their own food, but also how to grow flowers that look good and attract nice insects like bees and butterflies, and that way I think it's quite an important thing for everybody to be able to do that.